Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guest today is Casey Crabill, who was recently installed as Onondaga Community College's president, succeeding Debbie Saito. President Crabill was previously the president of Raritan Valley Community College in Branchburg, New Jersey. And before that, she was president of the College of the Redwoods in Eureka, California. President Crabill, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
You and your predecessor at OCC, Debbie Saito, both left presidencies that were regarded as successful. I wanted to start by asking you, what do you think was your most important accomplishment at Raritan Valley Community College?
I would say a couple of things. First of all, taking a college that had a very proud transfer tradition and helping it to build the workforce development side to meet the changes in the economy. So you can see the draw for me to come to Onondaga. The other thing that I think I would say as an accomplishment at Raritan Valley is we experienced about a 40% student growth in about a 2-year period. So a lot of capital development, including a workforce development center that I'm very proud of.
And what do you think was Debbie Saito's most important accomplishment at OCC?
It is a phenomenal campus, and I can see her hand in a lot of the development that's gone on, particularly in both the academic building that's being completed now, but also in all of the facilities designed to meet student needs. So Student Central, where students don't have to know who to ask before they approach the desk. It's a multi-service kind of place, as well as the residence halls, which really opened up Onondaga Community College to students from throughout New York. And that's an exciting component.
Is there something that she accomplished in particular that you want to build on and expand?
I definitely want to build on the residence facilities. I think that one of the big things we miss in higher education is the part of higher education that helps students take a role in their community in the future. I'm a big proponent of service learning. I developed a service learning program at Raritan that was really well regarded by the broader community, and I can see the niche for our students in residence to use their time in residence to also engage in service that takes what they're learning in the classroom and applies it in the broader community. It makes that learning real, but it also builds community for people who are living together. And I think those skills are really important for their future. So I'd like to take those wonderful residence halls and add that component.
Are there any new things, new goals, new endeavors for OCC that you're giving thought to, at least in these relatively early days?
I'm spending a lot of time talking with people in the local business community to make sure I understand for students who want to come to OCC to prepare for their first job or to train for a job because they've become unemployed or they want to reenter the workforce. I want to make sure I understand how the local business community is organized and what kinds of skills have the most value for folks who want to train for work. So I'm going to spend some time on workforce development for sure. I'm also really interested in opening up our transfer pathways. Our academic program is incredibly strong. Our faculty are really talented scholars, and they prepare students very well. And I want to get that word out so that our students are sought after by a number of the four-year institutions.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Casey Crabill, the new president of Onondaga Community College. Come back to some of the things that you just mentioned there at the outset. Talk about community engagement here for a second. You said previously, and you've just told me here, that OCC's community engagement is important to you, and you were talking about how it plays out as far as the students go. It would seem to me that by definition, a community college is directly and inherently tied to the local community in ways that, say, a large private university is not at least automatically tied. So can you say a bit more about how you see a community college's proper relationship with its community?
I think that when you look at the complex mission of a community college, there are four parts, and each of those parts, if done well, has very close local ties. So part number one is the one that people usually think of, the transfer function. That's the outreach to local K-12 students to say, hey, you can start at a community college We'll help you figure out where you're going to go. We'll make sure that your credits go with you. We'll help you figure out how to stretch your funding. People are very familiar with that, but it has to be locally rooted. So you have to have good, close relationships with your sending high schools so that you know how to work with students, so that you have access to parents to explain how you can, they can use you either as a vehicle for a baccalaureate or even further, or how they can have access to higher education. The second component, the workforce development component, needs to be locally rooted, both with your relations with K-12, but add on that business layer so that you understand the local marketplace, what skills are valuable, and you can help students choose careers that make sense for them in the place that they want to call home. And even if you look nationally, 85% of community college grads live within a 25-mile radius of their community college for the rest of their lives. So you really are building the local workforce, and you have to root that locally. The third piece of the mission is helping students who perhaps didn't use their time in K-12 to prepare appropriately for higher education. So you need to build some skills. Perhaps they come without prerequisite math skills or English skills. And again, that takes local root. You have to have good working relationships between the community college English folks and the folks that teach English in the K-12 system or in the EOC or in community literacy groups, so that that pathway is possible for students and they understand how to access higher education. Then the fourth piece of the mission is outreaching to businesses to help upgrade the workforce that they have. And again, obviously, that needs to be locally rooted. So when we say community is our middle name, it's really our middle name for absolutely everything that we do. It's part of the excitement, really, for me working in a community college.
And on that last point, the fourth thing you mentioned, that's then why you spoke earlier of the new thing that you want to do is get a better sense of the needs of the business. So it's a matter of matching this company and this company saying we need people with these kinds of skills, and then you go develop a program that fits it?
It could be that, or it could be working with businesses to forecast what they're going to need down the road, because it's important that, you know, for our community to thrive, our businesses need to be productive, not just now, but into the future.
Now, among your degrees, you have a master's degree in English as a second language. And as I'm sure you're no doubt aware, Syracuse has become in recent years a destination city for immigrant refugees. So will working with those groups be a special interest of yours while you're here?
That'll be something that's very close to me. I spent many years teaching English as a second language, both at the University at Albany, but also overseas, working. Interestingly enough, this was before I was in community colleges, and I was working with businesses who were recruiting employees from lots of different places and needed to improve their English skills. So I'll be anxious to get a hold of some of that work and to find out the best way for OCC to serve the community in helping the refugee population with English development.
Are there any particular groups that you've personally worked with in the past in teaching English as a second language?
I spent a great deal of time when I was at the University of Albany working with folks from Afghanistan and China, two large populations that the university was attracting at that point. And my role was to work with folks who were graduate students who were coming in and were going to need to teach in English. So while it wasn't rudimentary English, it really was the English of pedagogy at the university. And then when I went overseas, I was working with primarily folks from Eastern Europe who were working for British companies and needed to develop their English skills.
My guest is Casey Crabill, the president of Onondaga Community College. President Crabill previously served as president of Raritan Valley Community College and the College of the Redwoods. I wanted to explore with you some of the challenges or tensions that you might face as president. And you've already, I think, previewed a couple of them I want to come back to here. But let me start with another institution, actually, Syracuse University, and Nancy Cantor, the outgoing president of Syracuse University. She staked a lot of her presidency on enriching that university's connection with an investment in the local community. And it earned her a lot of praise, but also some criticism from certain quarters. Now, you and I have already been talking about the connections between the community college and the community. Do they have any kind of similar tensions, or do they generally benefit from a completely different set of expectations when it comes to that?
I think the town-gown relations of community colleges are always different from those of universities when it comes to engagement. In particular, if you think about the large proportion of students at Onondaga Community College who grew up and come from the communities that we then ask them to engage with as part of their education, I think there's a little bit more cultural knowledge, a little bit more sense of place than sometimes university students bring, despite each of them having, I think, really good intention. And sometimes that can create some hurdles. I've not had the experience of a town or a local agency not welcoming students, but sometimes creating the right expectations for both the agency that the student would be working with and the student themselves is part of the challenge. For me, it's not just about volunteerism. It is about service learning. It's about taking skills from the classroom and extending your learning by applying them in the larger community.
One of the things, though, I was wondering about, and you put your finger right on it earlier, in terms of possible tensions that a president of community college might face, is this diversity in mission. And those four things that you mentioned earlier can be quite different. And so to go back to a couple of them, on the one hand, you're trying to provide a program and a curriculum that's going to allow some of your students to transfer into the most competitive four-year colleges and universities that they can get into. But at the same time, you're also trying to provide, as you said, workforce development or job training for a variety of occupations. And sometimes that may involve remedial education. So that would seem to me that could generate the type of criticism that other university presidents get a different version of, where you're focusing too much on this as opposed to this, et cetera, et cetera.
Of course. And I think that the balance is the dance, if you will. We've got a very strong faculty. Those folks are, by and large, involved in programs for transfer, but we do have some full-time faculty folks who teach in programs that are designed for students to take into the workplace. And for me, the focus on those programs is the integrity of the educational experience, the integrity of the credit, if you will, and the scope and sequence of curricula to meet the expectations of transfer institutions, even for the two work programs that are credit-bearing. That's a little inside baseball jargon, but you know what I mean. But it becomes clear as students enter higher education, frequently because leaving high school, they're told you need to go to college. It becomes clear to some students that they really want a more direct application to work. And I think sometimes you can establish that balance by saying, you know, we have these credit programs for you, but we also have these non-credit opportunities. If you're looking for something that's going to get you into the workforce now because you have a need to earn or a desire to work, you can take this path. And I think an obligation to say, we'll help you later if you decide, I really need more education than I thought, or I want to go into management, and so now I need a degree. And to really be that kind of educational broker, it's a role that community colleges, I think, are perhaps more comfortable in, even though the balance seems awkward, because we understand that frequently we see our students more than once.
And another challenge I wanted to ask you about has to do with faculty morale. And you mentioned that one of the things that you are inheriting, you think, is a great faculty at OCC. But when I talk to friends and colleagues that teach at community colleges, one of the things that strikes me over and over again, for lack of a better word, is just how hard they are working. I mean, the number of courses that they are offering and the number of students whose work they're grading and so on, it's a lot. So is that ever an issue?
From a university perspective, I understand that the community college teaching load seems exhausting. But what I know is that people who are drawn to that role, they derive a certain kind of energy from the classroom that I believe is different. And they're able to carry those astonishing workloads throughout the semester with a passion that's inspiring. And it's hard to explain, but I've seen it over and over again when we interview people. And one of the most frequent questions I ask is, why do you want to work at a community college? And people will, successful folks will typically say, I'm interested in teaching. I've done research. I've done publishing. And many of our faculty are published scholars, people very active in their field. But where they live and the energy that they get comes from the classroom.
And aside from resources, which I know are always a challenge for university and college presidents, what do you think will be your biggest challenges in leading this school, say, in the next 5 years?
I think there's going to be a challenge in establishing and furthering the connection with K-12. I know that K-12 is under a lot of stress and change right now as the Common Core State Standards are actualized and the assessment mechanisms for K-12 change. And staying abreast of that and making sure that it doesn't create disjuncture in the pathway for students and that all the intended changes, which hopefully will help students be more prepared for college, are actually actualized in that change. I think that will be a challenge. And I think that will take the attention of community college folks, K-12 folks across the bridge to make sure that as we adapt to these new expectations, students are not paying the price for that change.
And I wanted to go back a little bit further in your past. Your own undergraduate education was at Skidmore College.
It was.
Which is, I think it's fair to say, a very Tony, private, prestigious liberal arts institution. So does that experience play any kind of role in how you think about community college, or are they at tension?
So I was a scholarship kid in a very Tony institution.
Okay.
And my mom, a community college grad while I was in high school. So I think even when I was at Skidmore, I had perhaps a slightly different perspective on that. For me, the scholarship was a huge gift and really the embodiment of access. And that's what I do every day. So it is, for me, a very logical pathway. I always knew that I would spend the bulk of my career in community college because of the fundamental change that it made in my mom and what that made possible for me and for my sisters. So even at Skidmore, I knew ultimately this was the direction I was heading.
In case you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations, and I'm talking with Onondaga Community College President Casey Crabill. What are the political challenges that community colleges face?
Well, for about 35 years, we've been saying, look at us, we're really interesting institutions, and now everybody's looking at us. So that in itself is a bit of a challenge. The political challenges are also, you know, helping people to understand that complex mission. If you don't work in that field, you may think only of the piece of the college that you interact with or only the part of the mission that makes sense to you from the perspective that you approach it. So I think continuing to get our message out and help people understand we're really fairly complex and we can serve a number of functions and I believe can be engines for democracy development, engines for community building, and real resources to people who live in community. So the political challenge is just, I think, helping people come along with that and understand.
And as I'm sure you know quite well in the recent past, some of the political challenges with OCC have had to do with the county government and county legislature. So have you started to have conversations with county legislators yet to explain the kinds of things that you just said to me?
I have. I've spent some time with the folks in the county legislature very briefly my second day. Mm. I've also had a chance to meet with the county executive. Mm. And what I find is a group of people who understand that Onondaga Community College is important to the future of this area. And we may disagree over time about the degree of importance. And I understand that they have multiple challenges in front of them. But I was really struck when I came here initially and took a tour of the campus. You can see 50 years of investment. Mm. It's not like some institutions, you walk on campus and you think, where are the people who think this is important? It was very clear from the word go that this is an important institution to this community.
And you mentioned County Executive Joni Mahoney. What are your impressions of her as a local county leader so far.
She was very engaging. She knew a lot about the college. She was excited about what she could do to help us do our business better, asked me about things like student transportation, which is a key issue for community college students. If you can't get there, it doesn't matter how open and available we are. So I really appreciated her initial questions. We had a great first meeting.
And you kind of follow a pattern that we've got going in this area of female leadership.
How about that?
And so, as you're aware of all this, you know, we've got Stephanie Miner as the mayor, Joni Mahoney, county executive, Nancy Kanner, outgoing chancellor of Syracuse University, and you're following Debbie Seidel. So, what's your take on this? Is there something about, I ask all of the female leaders that come in here, what's going on in Syracuse with that?
You know, the first time I became a president, I was the first woman president of a college, and they said, what's it like being the first woman president? I said, well, I've never been a man president, so I don't really know the difference. I've been fortunate to work over the years in contexts where there's been a lot of shared leadership between men and women, and I think there are different perspectives that women and men bring to leadership challenge. But I don't know, maybe it's in the water in Syracuse. It seems to be a complete coup.
And as a community college administrator, you've been all around the country. You've been in Maryland, Connecticut, California, New Jersey. Is this a homecoming for you, and are you here for the long haul?
I hope so. I'm a native upstate New York person, a little bit further east from here, and have been looking forward to an opportunity to come back to New York. It's fairly normal in the community college world for an administrator to move around to different experiences. You're never a prophet in your own kingdom, I think, is why you have those challenges in front of you. But I hope that I can bring what I've learned in all those different institutions and put it to work here in New York, and I hope to have this be the pinnacle of my career.
Well, let me get to the three questions. First, what's the title of the chapter of life you're currently living?
Prologue. Why? So I think that I'm excited every morning to see what comes next. And when I think about a prologue, it's a tease. It's a tantalizer. So that's where I am.
And second, what's your worst trait?
I am still disappointed that there are only 24 hours in a day, and I always plan for about 28. So that's a struggle.
And finally, what professional or creative achievement in your life so far has surprised you the most?
When I started my doctoral program, I was working with a wonderful man, and halfway through my dissertation proposal, he died. Mm. And at that moment, I thought, that's it. I will never finish this project. There's not another person who could understand me intellectually. So that I actually finished a dissertation with someone else was astounding to me, and grateful to David Chapman, if he's anywhere out there, for getting me through that piece.
That was Casey Crable, president of Onondaga Community College. President Crable, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
I'm Grant Reher. Join me again next week on WRVO Public Media for more conversation in the public interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher. Associate producers include Bethany Wallowender and Kelly Coleman, and recording engineer Tom Fazio. For more information on the Campbell Conversations, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.